well since Friday. Do the prayers work? The prayers work. Let's open our service with number 105. Number 105. Shall we stand?
Father, that thy spirit will continue to be with each one of us here this night, opening our hearts to receive that message which will be given unto us. Giving thy strength unto Martin, that he would give unto us the message, the words that thou desire for us to hear. Help each one of us so we can understand this and we can have them that they'll help in our daily lives. We thank thee, O Father, for the blessing that was given to this little baby of life. We thank thee for the power of prayer that thou hast given us, that we might use this avenue to come unto thee. We ask, O Father, that you continue to be with our ministry wherever they are, especially those missionaries, those who are on the Navajo Reservation and going to be there next week. Let thy spirit direct them that they reach and contact those people that might have a desire to follow and know thee. We ask to be with our church in its entirety, with our old people and our young people and all those in between, with the different offices that we have and the different people that are serving thee. We ask that thy spirit would help them that we might be able to be as righteous as we possibly can, that we might be able to strive greater to come before thee in a true heart. We ask, O Father, that you be with us this night, that thy Spirit would help indeed each one of us to understand that which is brought to us. And we ask this, O Father, in Christ's name. Amen.
68. Shall we stand? Thank you. This man to speak on a number of occasions. We always get a message from our brother. Tonight I would ask that you remember him in your silent prayer as he gets ready to speak. And I'd ask that you'd leave the things of the world outside and that you can draw close and listen to that which he gives us. For he'll give us strength. He'll give us hope. Brother Marvin.
Thank you, Brother Jim. This puts us in the final service of the 1996 Colorado reunion. And it seems like it goes away so quickly. And I happen to be placed in an unusual position tonight. I usually don't have the final sermon, and I was in charge of the sacrament service today, so I was able to watch all the rest of the reunion, knowing what I had prepared to preach tonight, but no one else knew here. And so I was in, I think, a unique position to this degree. I watched each and every service unfold. To start with, it was just a nice little rosebud. And I watched it blossom out into a rose today. In the opening service, and I just copied down a few notes, not much, of each service. The opening service, we especially prayed for a little baby named Gabrielle. We united our prayers in behalf of that little baby. You heard the news tonight. She is well. So we can rejoice already. You see how beautiful the rose is unfolding? Just think on it. That afternoon, we heard a sermon. It said, "Continue in my words, and the truth shall make you free." Did you listen to that? The truth shall make you free. Continue in the words of Jesus Christ. In the after evening service, we heard, "To be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace." So remember these thoughts I'm bringing out tonight. They have a purpose. They are part of that rose. In the prayer service yesterday, earnest prayers were offered in behalf of our sister Carrie, who stood and in a very difficult moment and asked our united prayers. We united, and we've already heard they're beginning to work. We can rejoice together. In the third service, A statement was made. People are concerned too much for themselves. True statement. It is God in whom we must rely. Today is a day in which people are very inclined to be more self-centered and even taught that it is you who is the most important. And we got to realize every one of us here are totally and completely dependent upon God. And that's why we have stumbled our toes so many times, because we fail to avail ourselves of this source of strength. In the fourth preaching service, we heard and were admonished to put on the whole armor of God. You heard that. And I'm just going to read them. Your loins girt with truth. Remember this. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, by which you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. No force is your equal with the shield of faith. And the helmet of salvation. You heard that in the testimony today. And the sword of the Spirit. In the sacrament service, I feel it was tied to things that were mentioned with the sermon tonight. There were some earnest prayers offered in that, because we was concerned for a couple that weren't here. We were really concerned, and we prayed, and they showed up, and maybe they'd have showed up anyway. But who knows? Maybe they'd have never made it. Who knows? Nobody can say what would have been. So it pays. It pays to take time to pray when the need is urgent. So don't forget that. Don't wait till next week. And don't be afraid to tell people about your problems. If they don't know about them, they're going to forget about them in 2 or 3 days. But if they know and they've had problems, they become a part of your needs. We sung a song in that. It was called for. Never be discouraged. We are living in a society where discouragement is running rampant. We sung that song with zest and zeal today. Don't forget that hymn. I would like now to turn to the 10th chapter of the book of John. And incidentally, it seems like so many things built upon what I have chosen to preach upon tonight. One rainy day in Houston, and I couldn't do anything else, I told Bernice, I'm going to prepare a sermon in the event I'm asked to preach in the Colorado reunion. I've altered it a little. I thought of changing it, but as I thought more, there was a purpose why I couldn't work that day. I prepared this for tonight. I've added a few things to it. You've already heard some of them. And it's entitled, The Peace of God. And you heard somewhat about peace in the different services. So see how well things are already tying together. And it's centered on Jesus Christ. The way is there. And I want to outline in great simplicity tonight how we might solve some of the problems that has presented so many dilemmas in our life. And I've chosen John 10, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus Christ said, I am the door. Don't anybody forget that. He is the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What a beautiful promise that is. And shall go in and out and find pasture. And so we stumble in our walk. The way is there. We can go in and out and find pasture. Our every need is there. And I plead with you, reach out for it. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus Christ come into the world, an abundant life, and more abundantly. He gave his life for us. There's hope in the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection. Don't forget that. But in this, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But I would like to say, now that is really a promise, a future event. But let me tell you, your everyday of life can become more abundant and more full if you will learn to rely upon Jesus Christ, to take your needs to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And it don't matter what we may have done. The important way is what we're going to do from this moment on. If we are determined, we can do it. In the 14th chapter of John, there is a statement in the 6th verse, and Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me, and no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. I almost misquoted it. But he is the way, he is the truth, he is the very life. And if we want to come to the Heavenly Father, it is by Jesus Christ. Now, is that plain or not? It's there. And I want to elaborate on it. And in verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, isn't this kind of unfolding rather beautifully? Down in verse 21, and I want to read that particular one there. He that hath my commandments. Don't we have them? Haven't we read them? I'm talking to you tonight. And keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, Jesus said. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. That's kind of nice, isn't it? And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. See how the promise is coming? Verse 23. And again, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words by the same token. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, they aren't literally going to come down and sit at your table, but their influence is going to be with you. And your life will radiate the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will influence others. People can't help but see that there's something different about you if you live that type of life. And I thought upon verse 27. I almost skipped one verse I really needed. One of my key verses. Jesus Christ said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, he told the disciples of old. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. No, this is real, lasting, working peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So really, in a world that is full of trouble and fear, he says, don't let it be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Don't let it have fear. Not long ago, in the Houston local, and three here in this room happened to hear this sermon, but now I'm not going to preach that whole sermon again. I'm just going to reference a part of it. I'm going to read from a part of it. And the sermon was entitled, Save Our Children. I believe that. And let me tell you, you who are older are going to have to unite together to accomplish this task. It is vital. The reason I chose to preach that particular sermon, I read an article in the Reader's Digest. And I'm going to reference a little bit of it. And this author Michael or Medved, it is entitled Our Plague of Pessimism. And it really touched me. And he says, in another little highlight, he says, what is it about our culture that is fueling a generation of gloom and despair? It is happening. You have witnessed it. Gloom, despair. And in his opening paragraph, he said, the most deadly epidemic menacing children today is not AIDS, gang violence, or teen pregnancy. It's the plague of pessimism. I'm just giving his thoughts now. Tens of millions of young Americans are feeling their patience tried, their faith challenged, their hope undermined. It is true, is it not? That very fact is taking place. And then he goes on to say, the plague's main symptom is a national orgy of whining and self-pity. Just think on these points. He says, I routinely visit campuses in every corner of the country. And with a few exceptions, I don't see a lot of shining faces and enthusiastic students. Indeed, health clinics in some Ivy League schools report that one of their most frequent services to privileged young people is the treatment of clinical depression. Now, where in the world are we going? What are we doing? How did we ever arrive at such a position as this? And then he goes on, how are we going to protect our children? And of course, we know one of the factors, he said, it is a big problem is the immersion in the mass media that our young people watch, perhaps as television, movies, even our books maybe, or magazines or other things. And they're presenting a lot of problems. They're presenting a way of life that really isn't real. And then he says, much more dangerous is the underlying message of hopelessness conveyed by these ugly images, a message that encourages both self-pity and fear. Now I find the guy has got a lot of good thoughts here to think upon. Can we deny it? On down here, it says in broadcast journalism, killing is almost always covered. Well, just go turn on your television in Springfield, Kansas City, Denver, Grand Junction, Phoenix. Go ahead and do it. While kindness is almost always ignored. Now, if I chose here tonight to put on this wall here three black dots, now what would everybody see? Three black dots. But all around is that good that practically nobody would probably see. And so it is with the killing and all these gory things. It's getting people's interest. And it is sad. We got to think upon the positive. The negative can destroy you. There is good in life. There is hope. One other little sentence here. Unfortunately, our children today seem to spend less and less time with their overworked parents. And we are in a dilemma. And I'm not saying I got all the answers tonight. But let me tell you, if you apply what I bring out, it's going to work sooner or later. If the whole nation tried it, it will work. And so they draw more information about the world from the images on movie and television screens. The true power of the media is the ability to redefine reality. And that is a terrible problem, mistake. They're trying to say what reality really is, and it's no such thing. To alter our expectations about what constitutes normal life. Now, this really isn't what normal life is. This is normal life, and it is no such thing, what they display. TV and the movies have abused that power by advancing the notion that wholesome, ordinary happiness is impossible. It is possible. The way is in the scriptures. I've copied down three things here, too. Three things out of this article and other articles are problems so much. Clinical depression, despondency, and hopelessness. The scripture don't ever point up such a point of view as that. Jesus said that I'm come that they might have life and that they might have more abundantly. Do we really believe that? It can be ours. We in this room could become such a force that it would surprise every one of you when we go forth from this reunion if we would unite our efforts together. It don't take a whole bunch. People working under the power of God can accomplish great things. Don't underestimate that power for one moment. Jesus Christ said, and I love this beautiful invitation. I hope you never tire me quoting it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't say it was some tough thing that you couldn't achieve. Easy and light. Is it we who make it difficult? Now let's go back there. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now what does that mean? When you take the yoke of Jesus Christ upon you, it shows that you're willing to walk as he walked. A meek and a lowly person. You're going to learn about this person. You're going to spend time of learning of Jesus Christ if you're yoked to him. And then he says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Now that isn't one who thinks he's some great thing, that he's the greatest thing there is. Meekness is one of the synonyms of humble. And I've dwelled a lot on that lately. And I'm not going to dwell a whole lot on tonight, but it will be a part of the sermon. 2 years ago, I preached in a Colorado reunion. And the sermon was entitled something like this, to persuade our children to believe in Christ. And I would like to turn to that reference. 2 Nephi 11 is found on page 142. And I want to read that tonight because evidently, those people of old had a few problems too. We don't have them all. But we live in a unique time in history such as has never been since it's upon the face of the earth. But sin and wrongdoing and problems has been around from the beginning. If it wasn't, Adam and Eve wouldn't have partook of the fruit of the forbidden fruit, would they? Well, verse 43. Now this is what they did. This is what we can do. For we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. Verse 48, and we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ. Are we doing that? I think we have did some of it here already in this reunion. We're rejoicing because our prayers were answered. Now, aren't we? Keep it working. We preach of Christ. We minister. We've got to preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ. And we write according to our prophecies, why, that our children, all you children here, may know to what source they may look for remission of their sins. There is the place. And we who are older, who are assembled, we know to what source we should look for remission of our sins. And don't kid yourself, we all falter sometimes. And I'm not going to ask anybody, raise your hand and say he's without sin, because I don't think I've seen any hands start with. I don't care to see any. I want reality today. I don't want some news media thing. It's not reality. I'd like to turn now to the book of Colossians, third chapter. And this is found in verses 15 through 17. And I want you to listen to this closely. There is problems today. But I want to outline, and especially for the young, but we who are older, I want to outline it for the parents so they know what to do. And you grandparents, don't think it's all done. I've already found that out. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Is that what's happening in each of your lives? Is the peace of God ruling in your heart? If it isn't, start working on it. That's what Paul told the Colossian people years ago. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I heard us in one of these reunions offer prayers for our prayers being answered. I guess it was yesterday. You called for a season of prayer. And then listen to this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let that word of Christ dwell in there. Let it be a part of your life. It is the way out, brothers and sisters, each one of you. Teaching and admonishing one another. We got to do that to one another. Nobody's greater than anybody else. Don't kid yourself. Just because you know more, don't make you any smarter or any better or anything else. Admonishing one another in psalms, scriptures, that is, and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Admonishing one another in hymns and spiritual songs. And as I went over that today, it reminded me of experience when I was in construction. In the year 1956, over in Palisade, one day, my father and I were doing a remodel job, and I got to confess today, I wasn't in a very good mood when I went to work that day. But I'll tell you what, our painter was a lot worse mood than I was. Man, he was terrible. And I got there, and I began singing hymns. And all of a sudden, my whole life had changed. Everything was beautiful. I was no more in a terrible attitude. I had a beautiful attitude. And that old painter looked at me and he says, "Say, if you don't shut up, you're going to have me happy too." Well, there it is. Singing with grace in your hearts. I'll tell you what, I may not be the greatest singer, but I love it as good as anybody else. And Paul says, make a joyful noise, and I know how to do it. And I love it. And the Lord has blessed me in being able to even start hymns when there's nobody better than I there. And to get it reasonably close. And it isn't because of my ability, because the Lord is helping me. He can use people with a lot lesser talents. He uses those who will work. But how beautiful it is if all the workers work. He can use them any more, even more fully. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I want to turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Alma on page 325. And this is, actually I want to pick up verse 34. And Alma was looking at a group of people and he says here, "I perceive that you're making his path straight. I perceive that it has been made known unto you by the testimony of his word, that he cannot walk in crooked paths." So he watched these people. He watched their goodly walk of life. They were making the path straight. And he said to those people now these words, "And now I would that ye should be humble." You still got to do this. Even though you're making his path straight, you still got to continue to be humble. Be submissive. Submissive to the working of the Holy Spirit. And gentle. Are you gentle when you deal with one another? Are you? Well, go look in the mirror. You answer for yourself. He said to be gentle. Easy to be entreated to do good. Full of patience. Are you full of patience? Oh, we're in a generation of people that are impatient. Start working on it. You can become patient. Anybody can. They work on it long enough. And long-suffering. Just because somebody misuses you, long-suffering. Being temperate in all things, being diligent and keeping the commandments of God at all times. Well, it kind of outlined the way, didn't it? This is the way out of the dilemma. This is the way we can set an example of hope for our children. That there is something in this life. It isn't a dismal thing. Asking for whatsoever things you stand in need of, both spiritual and temporal. Don't be bashful. He said, do it. Go ahead. Always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do have. And then he says, see that you have faith, hope, and charity. Make it a part of your life. Charity is the pure love of Christ. Verse 44, and then Alma said to these people, and it would be beautiful to invoke the same beautiful statement upon those here tonight. And now, may the peace of God rest upon you. And he says, may the peace of God rest upon you and upon your houses and your lands and upon your flocks and your herds and all that you possess, your women and your children. May the peace of God do this. Rest upon your women, your children, your houses. Now, I say, that's pretty nice, wouldn't you? How are you going to get it? Listen. According to your faith and good works from this time forth and forever. So now the burden's back on each one of us. According to our faith, this peace will rest upon every household here. So if we haven't got enough faith, let's unite our efforts and start working on it. I think we can all grow in faith. That peace, I just felt so strong when I sat there in Houston thinking upon this, that all this turmoil among our young and among our families and different things today and our little children, I want them to have peace. I want them to hold out hope tonight. I'd like to turn to, I see how fast my time is scooting away. I'm going to go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And this is found in verses 5 and 6. Now, incidentally, you who listened to an earlier sermon heard this particular two verses read already. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Now you heard that in the sermon already. But listen to this. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And of course, the others who used these really wasn't putting the emphasis maybe on the peace. But see, that's all a part of my sermon tonight. And they didn't know that they was building little parts of that rose. They didn't know it then. But they do now. And you see the way God works? It is a marvelous thing. James, the 3rd chapter. And this is found in verses 13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Where is he? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Have meekness of wisdom in your life. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, in other words, this bitter envying and strife, descendeth not from above. So when there's strife and envy, it don't come down from God now. That's what he said here. But is earthly, senseless, sensual, devilish. For whether envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. There it is. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, so different. We each can avail ourselves of it. Then peaceable. Kind of sounds nicer, don't it? Then gentle. Now, wouldn't this be nice if every time you met somebody, they would be gentle when they dealt with you? And easy to be entreated, that is, to do good. The devil is trying to make us entreated to do evil. I'll tell you what, he's a master, he's cunning. But he don't have wisdom. But he is a strategist in cunningness. But with the power of God, you're more than equal to the forces of evil. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So I hope I'm impressing some of these things upon you to think upon it more fully. I want to turn to the book of Proverbs, 3rd chapter. And of course, verse 17 speaks about all her ways being peace. But I'm going to back up to 13 and make this all come together. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the person that's able to make wise decisions. It's a constant thing of life. We all have to make decisions of life. And if we have wisdom in it, what a beautiful thing that is. We stumble a lot of times because we fail to pray over everything for the wisdom of the Lord in what we do. And a man, happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And I say that's an understanding of the Scriptures and the way of life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. For the merchandise of it, this wisdom and understanding of the Lord, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. And from the beginning of time, men have sought after gold and silver and all these things. She is more precious than rubies, and they like rubies and all the things. Now listen to this. Having wisdom in what you do and having the understanding of the Lord and the Scriptures, it says all the things you can desire in this whole life cannot be compared unto her, or we might call them, but this calls both of them her here. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. How can you beat it? Riches and honor. Spiritual riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And I thought of this. If people were like that, everybody you met tomorrow would be pleasant. When you went to work, they would greet you pleasantly. There wouldn't be anybody kind of stomp on somebody else to get to the head of the ladder. They'd just be pleasant. Oh, it isn't that way. But it could be. It says, if they did this, their ways would be ways of pleasantness. And man, I'd just like to see that. Ooh, that'd be nice. And all her paths come to it. Peace. It could be yours. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. A tree of life. So is that important or not? And I thought of the beautiful vision that Lehi had, in which he grasped the rod of iron, the word of God, and pressed forward and partook of the fruit of the tree of life. It says, this fruit was desirable to make one happy. I think we all would like to have something desirable to make us happy. The fruit of that tree is desirable to make one happy. Lehi partook of the fruit of that tree, and it filled his soul with exceeding great joy. Now, is that abundant life worth it for eternity? Just a few days we're here, really. Just a little dot on that wall. I couldn't even put a dot so little on that big wall that would be compared to eternity. So let's use it. Let's start working on our kindness one toward another. And I really want to thank everybody the way they've reached out in their prayers for the needs. I thank the Houston local. That little couple back there that's now husband and wife know that. I thank them a lot of times for being there. And I thank each one of you for making the effort to be here tonight. I don't think it's any accident that one person is in this room tonight. And I hope you don't forget this message, and I hope when you go forth from here, you start carrying it to other places. And you, when you associate with people, you try to influence other people. Because we can become a force of good. I'd like to turn to the 34th Psalm. And this starts with verse 11, and I'll read a bit there. I want you to notice this. This is an invitation. So remember, come ye children, hearken unto me, the psalmist says. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is expected of each one of you? What man is he that desireth life? Now, isn't everyone in here desirous of life and eternal life? I wouldn't see any hands not raised if I asked for them. And loveth many days. Don't you really would like many days? That he may see good? Wouldn't you like to see more good? I don't mean you aren't going to see some of the other. Because let me tell you, you'd never know sweet if you didn't know bitter, see? You'd never know good if you hadn't seen some evil. But yet, let the good influence your life. Keep thy tongue from evil. Now here is the way. And thy lips from speaking guile. That reminds me of a little story years ago in a home in Salem, Oregon. And that evening it was getting a little late, and two little boys in that room. And one of them was back there and got a bed, and it upset the other. And he come up to me right here. He knew that I would do something about it. And I picked this little guy up, and I kept preaching, took him back to his mother, and went on with the sermon, so he was happy. So he knew this guy would do something for him. And this kind of reminds me of this again. I love little children. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And I skip verse 14. Depart from evil, and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Well, if you want that peace, pursue it. It can be yours. I'm opening the way. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Now, did you hear that? People bemoan the fact that they're having troubles. It didn't say you weren't going to have any troubles. It just says you cried to the Lord and he could deliver you out of them. Well, now that isn't too bad, is it? Really? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. That's the type of people we're to become. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And the word contrite means what? Humble spirit. He saveth such as be of a humble spirit. Moroni 7, on page 763. Verses 3 and 4. Mormon found he had a few more days of life left shortly before he left this earth, and he wrote verses 3 and 4 on 763. Wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, listen, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which you can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until you shall rest with him in heaven. What a beautiful statement. So let's work on our life, brothers and sisters, young people, children. Work on our life so that we really can become those peaceful followers of Jesus Christ that will have that hope. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you. How did he know that? Because he looked out there and saw they had a peaceable walk with the children of men. Now, when everybody watches you at work, do you have a peaceable walk? When everybody watches you young people and you children at school, do you have a peaceable way about you? Don't kid yourself. You can influence every one of your school friends. Make this a part of your life. There is a way out. It isn't a hopeless thing. We don't have to have clinical depression and hopelessness and despondency. If it happens, we can get out of it because we know where we can turn to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. For I remember the word of God, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. I have one, and I'm getting down almost to the end. But I feel I should use this one from Helaman, the second chapter, on page 551. And it takes in verses 25 and 26. Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will in the sincerity of their hearts call upon His holy name. So the Lord is merciful. Now, just analyze that statement a bit. No matter what you have really done, He is merciful unto all those who with sincerity call unto Him in the name of Jesus Christ. In other places it mentioned it. Call on His holy name. Yea, thus we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, not just one person, unto all who will avail herself of it, even to those who believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And that same Jesus Christ said, I brought out earlier, if you love me, keep my commandments. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That is the one we must follow. Now, listen to verse 26. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, and that word of God is vital. It is a rod of iron that I already spoke about that can lead you to the tree of life, which is quick. It is powerful. All the forces of this world cannot destroy the word of God if it's a part of your life. Which shall divide asunder, this word of God shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil. He is cunning. He has snares. He's ever chipping at you. He knows your weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble, though the scripture said. But those who come unto Jesus Christ, He can lift you up. And I will show unto you that faith, hope, and charity is a fountain of all righteousness. Anyway, this word of God, which is so quick and powerful, can divide asunder the cunning, the snares, and the wiles of the devil. And this word of God can lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course. Did you hear that? It can do it. Across the everlasting gulf, this great big gulf here, which is prepared to engulf the wicked. The devil has prepared that, to engulf the wicked. It can lead you right across that word of God. Now, isn't that kind of nice? You little children, young people, you older adults, you mothers and fathers. and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob, and with all the holy prophets, to go no more out. Now, the way is outlined. You heard in another sermon one verse of this read, but I want to quote the whole thing in Revelations 20:20-22. Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He that will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." You have the ears. I have the ears today. Heed that. The invitation is there. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If you will hear my voice," so you got to pay attention, "he will come in. He will open the door and come in. He will come into our heart and help us." One last verse in closing. In Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That peace of God, it passes all understanding, and it can keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I've tried to outline today the way, the truth, and the life. I've tried to outline there is an abundant life, and our life today can be more full and complete and happy. I'm not saying you aren't going to have some unhappiness, but you can overcome it. You can handle the depression, the despondency, the hopelessness. You can handle it with God and Christ. The way is there, and I hope we each may avail ourselves of it.
I want to say a few things instead of just closing it. I'm not trying to preach a sermon. I just want to say thank you to all of it. I want to say thank you to this local, to these people who make up this local. This body of this local is part of the body of Christ. And I want to say thank you for the effort that was put in before this reunion come about. There hasn't been a prayer service, probably hasn't been a service in the last month or two that we haven't prayed here that this would be a success. Prayed for the people coming, that they have protection and care as they turn and go to their homes. I think maybe it draws us a little closer together, working together to get things set up for this. We're getting to be kind of a small group and older people. And it is an effort. It is a trial to get this and put it up. But we have our reward for it. You people have come. You've come not only just bringing yourselves. I know that there's many that have come prepared to partake of the Spirit that's been with us here. You've come many distances. You've made efforts to do this. You've had a desire to do it, to want to do it, or you wouldn't have done it. You brought your testimonies. You brought your voices singing the songs. You've brought your goodwill for other people, your love for each other and for us. We're thankful for this. We're thankful that we can have this reunion, that we can draw ourselves closer to God, because that's what we need to do. We just heard some of the things that is out there that we need to overcome. And each one of us knows that there's problems and trials that we have to overcome at all times. You know, most of my life I've been around automotive. And I know you've heard before about getting a battery charged. If your battery isn't charged, you don't go anywhere in an automobile. That is what you have to have. And I hope that you're coming here, meeting with us, has helped to charge your batteries up as much as it has ours. We get discouraged at times here because of our small number, but we can't give up. Because we need to be here. Somewhere out here, there's somebody that's going to need this group of people. And if they don't, we need each other. Christ told Paul to feed his sheep. He told him 3 times, feed my sheep. Was he talking about the people out here that aren't his? He was talking about those people, those followers of his. Those that he had chosen. Those that have been chosen of God to become Christ. That's what we've done here. We've been fed. Each one that has made an effort here has given us something to strengthen us for each in our daily lives. And I'm thankful for this. And I think all of the local will agree with me that they're thankful that we had this reunion. We were a little worried at one time of whether we really could handle it. But if we place things in God's hands, we can handle it. We can keep it. As we prepare to leave, I hope that each one of you can take something home with you that will strengthen you in your daily lives, that will strengthen you spiritually, physically, that you can draw closer. Because we've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed the sermons. I've enjoyed the little girl, Gabrielle. We needed her. She needed us. We have others in here that are the same way. So let us, as we depart and go, let's do it with the Spirit of Christ being with us. Let's take him home with us and spread him out around us, feeding not only the sheep that didn't come, but reaching out and trying to feed others too. For we have not a big church, and we need all the members we have, and many of them are getting up in years. I'm not young anymore myself, but I have a job to do, and I'll do it the best I can. And that's what each one of you can and will do if you let the Spirit work with you. So I'm just going to say, let's take the Spirit home with us. Let's take these charged batteries and use them. And I dropped my sheet. It's got the song on it, and I think it was 23, so I'm going down after. So let's bring our service to a close with number 23. We will have study class on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Shall we stand?
Tell me.
Father, as we come to a close of this reunion, we're indeed thankful for thy Spirit that it was here with us. We're thankful for the fellowship and the love one with another that was here. We're thankful for the working of thy Spirit with those who were prayed for. We thank thee, O Father, for this avenue that we have of reaching out and helping others through our prayers unto thee. We ask, O Father, that you would go with each one of these that are here this night, to protect them, to keep them from harm and danger upon the roads as they return to their homes. And we ask, O Father, that you go with them, that they might be able to have strength to continue in thy ways and to help others and to show that love that they have unto other people. We're thankful, O Father, for thy peace that has been with us, thy peace that has helped us to reach out and to fully gain from this time we've had here together. We would ask once again, O Father, that you'd remember those that we've brought before thee, those names of those who are sick and in need. Thou knowest their names. I don't need to name each one, for thou knowest their problems and their trials and their faith. And we ask, O Father, that you'd have mercy upon them, giving them that healing power and the help that they are each in need of. We ask, O Father, that you go with us and help each one of us until we can meet again before thee. And we do ask this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.